Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, April the 29th, 2012.
Stand with me and we'll sing together the old song, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Me to victory. may be seated.
I've tried to teach some courses over the last few months, really, probably last fall. I started trying to teach as a course at least once a month, but number of us attended a conference, pastor's conference, a few weeks ago, and we talked about that a little bit, and a couple of songs that I found, and it's neat because some of these songs have been around for a while, but a lot of times you just don't pick up on them. But this is some great lyrics. Behold Our God that we sang this morning, and then this song has got some great lyrics in it. I'm going to sing the first verse and then the chorus, and then you can sing with me on the second and third verse as we sing together.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. Hallelujah! All I have is Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus is my But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you look upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I behold God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life. Sing it again. Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life. And we will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. And Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. And He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live.
He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him.
Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.
So it is our privilege to hear just a brief report from Judy Bowen, who's been in Togo for three terms or four? The fifth term. Okay, three, four, five. I thought that I was going to catch it by saying three or four, but I did not do that, did I? So Judy's going to give us a report about some of the things that have been going on. I didn't ask her to bring pictures tonight and everything. This is really your first stop, I think, along the way, and been here for 3 days. And so we had a chance to just grab her and to hear a little bit about what's going on. So
thank you very much for letting me say a few words. It is a joy to represent the Lord's work in Togo. There's a lot going on out there. It's fun to be back. My sister and brother-in-law are with me, and we're just already having a great time together. It's always fun to come home and do the things we like to do. And we like these cream horns from Walmart, and I don't get them in Togo, so we get them, and we're trying to be good, so we'll split one, and then we'll say, want to split another one? You know, so it's just really the best way to do that. So we're having a good time. We'll go up to Maine and spend some time with our parents, and we're just looking forward to that very, very much. So I just want to take a minute to say thank you to you as a supporting church for your support, your prayers, and your care for Togo missionaries. This is obviously a church that loves Togo, and in my experience, probably one that loves Togo just about more than any. And so oftentimes you'll go to a church and share your ministry, and they'll, if they already have somebody from Togo, they won't take you because they already have somebody. So thank you for loving all us Togo missionaries. And it's good to see Andrew and Andrew and Mary getting ready to go and take up the Christian school ministry, and that is a huge strategy, so we'll get there in a second. So I bring greetings from Bea and Harry, and if you read their email today, they have a new grandbaby, and so we're thanking the Lord for that. And they're hard workers, as you know Bea and Harry very well. And Bea happens to make excellent homemade ice cream, and about the best I've ever had. And she gave me some the other day, and I made 6 root beer floats out of it in 3 days, so that was pretty good. So, okay. Well, these are just amazing times to be involved in world missions. You know, there's so much going on. There's so many changes taking place. The weather is wild. I got a call just in March from my parents at 10:30 at night saying that Harrison, Tennessee, had been hit by a tornado, and Debbie and Tom were okay. And so I was able to get through to them by phone and talk to them. And wow, that's amazing to hear that kind of stuff when you're far away. And, you know, we've been in the South a long time, and the tornadoes are scary when it gets that close to home. They lost all their trees, and there's a lot of damage in their area, but we thank the Lord they're safe. But, you know, I look on the internet now and then, and I see 318 people killed in tornadoes in Alabama. I remember seeing that and thinking last year, you know, usually you'll hear 3 or 8 or 12, and that's bad, but wow. So it's like it just seems that things are intensifying. And, you know, it's just the Lord has many people to save, and he is doing that. We happen to be in a very strategic area where we are in Togo right now. And, you know, my job in Togo is the literature ministry. I get paid to work in a bookstore, and you really can't beat that if you love books. And so I get called the Bible Lady. That's a great compliment. So I don't mind being called the Bible Lady in Togo. But because our goal is to make literature, Bibles, et cetera, affordable to the local population, to make those available through our bookstore and print shop. And so that's what we do. And our goal has been, since the beginning, West Africa rather than just Togo. And the Lord is opening the door for things to happen in West Africa. And so that is through the North, the hospital that's coming, a surgical hospital that will draw patients from 4 countries. So that would be Togo, Ghana, Benin, and Burkina Faso. Because it's a surgical hospital, people will come from a long way to get the help they need. And if you're an inpatient and you're in a Christian hospital, then there are things that you will hear. And we have the opportunity to give literature to those patients, and they'll take it home. And you can see how the potential is just huge for distribution. And so we thank the Lord for that. We just started a new program, if you read in the prayer letters, with the pillow, the individual personal speaker system in our hospital. This is new to us. And the Lord just made this happen. I'm not going to take the time to tell you the story of that right now, but he just put that in front of us and made it happen. And so by every bed in our 30-bed hospital, there is a a set of phone jacks, four different languages, and a patient can have a little speaker that they can listen to just by themselves. And, you know, the idea is that especially at night when they're alone, they cannot sleep, then they can just plug into that. It's running 24/7. The gospel is running on that system, and so patients can listen to that. And the second thing is that it's a good privacy thing. If they just want to listen quietly, they don't want those around them to know, because Islam is growing in Togo, and our northern hospital will be largely ministering to Muslims. And so this will be a good test in the south for our ministry in the north as well. And so this system is exactly what's being played at our hospital in Bangladesh. It's very effective there, and we're finding that it's working where we are as well. And we had a pastor in there that had a major surgery on his arm, and just a godly man, loves God's word. He and his wife are amazing people, just godly people. And so he was in there, and we had given him a CD player, and he was listening to music, and I didn't realize that he didn't have one of those speakers available to him. And so we got that plugged in for him, and it was incredible to see him put that up to his ear, and he just started listening to God's word, and to him it was like water. You could just tell that that was quenching a thirst for him. And so we thank the Lord for that ministry. And it needs more development, and we'll continue to work on that together. And then video training, we trained our audio team to add video to their ministry, because largely the need that we see is that everybody has a DVD player and they don't have anything good to play on it. And so what they have is pirated movies from France. And this happened actually quite suddenly over a few years' time in Togo, that DVD players became available at the port, and therefore DVDs everywhere. And people watch these. They don't have discernment because they didn't grow up with their parents saying, you will not watch that, and this is why. None of that. And so whatever they get, they watch it. It's a movie. And so it's literally changing the culture of West Africa, what they are seeing. And so we saw a need to say, you know, if we're going to tell them they shouldn't watch those movies, then we need to put something else in front of them. And we also saw a need on some of the seminars that are happening. We have a very active youth minister in Togo, a Togolese, a good brother that we've known since we got there 20 years ago. Now we work together at camp. And we knew that we needed to begin to film these and make them available as DVDs, and so that's what our video ministry is doing. And so we have a lot of goals ahead, much to learn. This, again, is a new ministry for us, and so we'll certainly be keeping you updated about that. Our print shop is rolling a lot this year, and some of that has to do with Bea and Harry and the Christian school books, and so we're cranking out the books for them. And let's see, Christian school books, Eve primers for reading the Eve Bible. We just reprinted those because we've used 2,500 primers. So that's how many people have gotten that and have followed the program to learn to read an Eve. I mean, imagine if you can't read your Bible for yourself. And so literacy is very, very big, and our print shop does the printing of the primers. And so it's a busy ministry. Our ministry is entwined with many others. It's the only ministry in Togo that is two missionaries and Togolese alike. And so it's just neat to be able to provide for several different areas as a literature and print shop ministry. And so we thank the Lord for what he's doing in literature, including audiovisual, again, new to us. And we'll ask you to please pray for that now, because we have a lot to learn. And we've got some really good guys working on this. And it's incredible. I could literally go on and on, but I promised the pastor I wouldn't do that. So let me just give you a little challenge, if I could, to study Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Just if you would remember that, and when you get the time, read that passage. Read it in the Amplified Bible. And some other versions, and just assimilate that. I loved this morning. I was reading in that passage this morning before we came, and the music theme was right about this passage. And so and we were singing the second verse of The Solid Rock, his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. That is all in this passage. It is beautiful. It's about our sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, that we have eternal life because of what Jesus did for us, tearing the veil, allowing us to come right into his presence. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage. So I encourage you to study that because for me, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, the things that are going on in our world, you know, not just the weather situation. You have these people that are just flaunting their nuclear capabilities. The global economies are a wreck. You know, you look at all that, and I don't know how you are. I imagine I am not the only one that gets a little fearful sometimes about all that. As you look at the future and you just think, wow, and what does this mean to the future of world missions? You know, if the global economies continue to do what they're doing and if things continue on the path that they're on here, wow, you know. And so what do you do then when those fears start to assail you? You've got to take that to the Word. And so that's what I have been doing. And this is one of those very, very encouraging passages. So I just leave that with you on your own. Read that and just really take it in. It is amazing. It's beautiful. The book of Hebrews, I have largely ignored it most of my life. I don't know why. I thought it was too hard. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. And so thank the Lord for that. So I want to leave that with you. And then just by way of a quick announcement, there are three new books. And so I'd like to give these to the church. You can put them on your display table wherever they go. Two of them are for kids. You know, if you want them, my email address is in there. I'll write you back and tell you how to get them. Okay, so I want to leave those with you, and thank you very, very much again for your love and care for the ministries in Togo. Please, please keep praying for us. Pray for our spiritual walk, that when things, as I'm expressing to you a little bit of my heart here, just pray that God will keep us courageous and steadfast, because we're living in interesting days. So thank you very, very much.
Okay, so why don't you stand down here with me, get your microphone there, and why don't we ask her some questions? So were there any questions that were provoked, and you'd like to ask, you know, Judy some questions? Okay, Mary.
Are some of the team that's in the South, are they going north?
There's a microphone there.
Are some of the team that's in the South, will they be going up north?
They are. Pray that not too many of them will. We now have two hospitals to staff. And so, yeah, this is a deep need. People are flocking to Mongo. Praise the Lord. We need them. We also have a hospital in the South to maintain. And so we're hurting for some staff down there, too. So, especially okay. Maintenance. Pray that God will supply maintenance staff for us.
Yeah, now that's, and of course, in the South, that's John Tusink that works with the maintenance.
One maintenance man on call 24/7 is too much for him. And so that's huge. So thank you for asking that. That really is huge. I think we have four maintenance men slated for Mongo. That is great. Pray that God will send maintenance men to the South, because your hospital will shut down if you don't have maintenance. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Yes, Sherry?
Can you talk a little bit more about the books you put up there? I kind of might go more than some people do, but tell us what they are.
Okay, the books that I put up there. The God of the Infinite book, the white, shiny book up there is a photo book from the continent of Africa. I took all these pictures just in different places in Africa. That's a one-theme book. And it's one of my favorite subjects. It's called God of the Infinite, the God of the Infinitesimal. And the theme of this book is about God's attention to detail in very big things. And so the book starts with very big things, like the solar eclipse and the sky and the moon, and goes all the way down to pictures, macro images of insects and water drops and things like that. The idea being that if God cares about the detail in those little tiny things, what does he do for our lives? And so this has got a gospel message in it, and so the hope is that this will get out to people that need to be encouraged. Not only that, but it may be watering in somebody's life and be a step in their process of coming to the Lord. So that's what that one's about. These two little books Debbie and I did together, and it's just really fun because my mom and sister were in Togo in 2010, and I love to wander around in the grass on our compound. They're nice enough to mow the lawn, the big lawn. There's a big grassy area, you know, and they mow it in shifts for me so that I can have some tall grass. And these pictures in both of these books were taken right on that compound. And so Debbie said, yeah, we ought to do a trilogy. And because I was, you know, bugging her about making me a poem and some cartoons, which she did. I'm not a poet. If this all hinged on writing poems, it wouldn't happen. So Debbie did the before and after text and the cartoons that are in here, little drawings. And so together, we've just had a good time with this. We're working on a third one. And these are for kids. Backyard bug safari and backyard butterfly and moth safari. We're working on the bird one now. Birds are special, as you know. And so that's what those are about.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Brent. Beds up north and beds down south in the hospital.
Okay, the South Hospital usually has 30 beds. That means we move some in sometimes and we move some out sometimes. But it's known as a 30-bed hospital. And we have a new maternity wing, so that's added some. So 30, 35, 40 in that area. And then I'm expecting that the Northern Hospital is going to be about that size. So I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what they do is they start out with a clinic. And the clinic's basically just a walk-in type of situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so those people, unless they have some really serious problems, won't be checked into the hospital.
Right.
So what kind of, in any given day, how many people's lives would you gather you're touching?
I'm not going to be able to say because I don't have any stats with me. It is an amazing number of people. And, of course, as the Bible lady, we supply hundreds and hundreds of gospel tracts to the hospital, and every person is witnessed to. I just have to email you back with that one.
Okay. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, good.
Anyone else?
I'm curious if there are cult orders in the Bible that take advantage of helping you distribute Bibles and materials as in the areas where they go away from the cities.
Not there. Every now and then we'll have some of a situation like that, but it's not a large part of our ministry that we have people that come and get things and go out. What we have is because we have so much traffic to the hospital, we have a public bookstore there, and so they come. Their pastors come, and people that are members of those churches come, and they get New Testaments and tracts and books. And we have over 900 titles. In French in our bookstore. So mostly people come to us and take out what they need. So we have a Baptist pastor in a town further north that supplies a small bookstore where he is. He supplies that from us. So there will be a satellite literature center up in Mongo. And so we look forward to that hopefully getting started soon because there are needs up there. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else?
You illustrated from maintenance for the hospital how important that is. For your own ministry, whether it's people, equipment, or what is it that would be the most key thing to helping you do more or better? What is it that you can most use?
Okay, did everybody hear the question? Okay, the question is that maintenance was the illustration in terms of the hospital and that sort of thing. In terms of Judy's literature ministry, what are the factors, what are the elements that they especially need to make it all, to make it to continue to work?
Mm-hmm. I would think that the ministry would be enhanced if the Lord would provide a guy to head up the print shop. Is it Dan Barry here? No, Dan's not. Oh, I'd be putting him on the spot if he were here. Okay. we had a wonderful couple that came out and trained our pressmen. It's the best thing that could have happened to the print shop. And so anything that we do, if we can train our national brothers and sisters to do those things, that is a huge benefit. And so our print shop continues. Yet it does seem that because it is a growing ministry, that it would be further enhanced if the Lord, I'd love him to bring that couple back. So they're pretty firmly ensconced in their work in Indiana. And so far they haven't gotten bored with the rat race and ready to give it up and move back to Togo. So, but I would think that that would be a help for us. I also need to consider replacing myself. No, I'm not ready to retire. Don't look at me that way. And so I need to, we just need to start training younger blood. We have an entire mission field of aging missionaries. And so thankfully, in some areas, we have younger ones coming in, and some we don't. And so we do need to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Judy, you mentioned changing culture. Give us specific examples of how culture is changing.
Okay, when I was referring to the culture changing with the influx of DVDs, it's negative. We're talking about westernization in very negative ways. And so it has to do with lack of discernment as far as behavior, dress, and that kind of thing. And so, I mean, you just think about what you would take in a movie that is filled with violence. Then you're going to learn about killing, and you're going to learn about you name it. And that's how it's changing the culture. So, you know, to me, that needs to be, you know, we need to put some things up against that. So especially for our children. And so we're hoping to be able to get with our DVD ministry to film some of our women teaching Bible lessons. Just try that. It'd be a very simple thing to do, but we'd like to try that. We're waiting for permission from Child Evangelism Fellowship to film one of our ladies teaching some of their lessons and put that in front of the kids, because all they have is like Togo MTV. I won't try to describe that. You know, they just don't have anything to watch. You know, and these kids love to watch TV. It's just, it's one of those things. So it's, I don't know if that answers that some.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I can't tell you. I don't know. I just, yeah. Sorry, I have no statistics. I guess I better work on that. Yeah. A lot, you know. I mean, I just can tell you hundreds and hundreds of Bibles, hundreds of thousands of tracts. A few years ago, we got in a pallet of 500,000 tracts. That is a lot of tracts. That's five titles, 100,000 each, and they're over half gone. You know, so I know that we have plowed through hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. What we're going to do is... we're going to pray for Judy, and we're going to receive an offering, and whatever is not otherwise designated is going to go to her ministry in Togo. And so we'll ask the men to come at this time. So, Father, we thank you for Judy and her love for the Togolese people and the ministry that you continue to give her, Father. I pray that as she's praying for a pressman that will be able to help in the print shop and for additional help in the in these ministries, Father, that you will hear those requests, Father, and that you'll already be calling people into those areas to be involved. And Father, we pray that there'll be Togolese people that would take that burden and would take that opportunity. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Tina. Well, so I'd like to open the Bible tonight and look briefly at a couple of passages of Scripture that I think would be very insightful in terms of the whole thing that we were talking about this morning in unity. So let's begin with prayer. So Father, we thank you for your Word and for the way that you love us and care for us. And Father, I pray that we'll have our focus on you above everything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Variety of passages that talk of what unity is all about in the Scriptures, and you see it in a various contexts. You see it sometimes in a context of situations and things that you ought to avoid, people you ought to avoid along the way, and sometimes you see it in actual statements that say that we would be one, that kind of thing, or even the word unity is used in the Scripture. So you've got two or three or four categories of information of stuff that's worth looking at and worth thinking about. And so I want to read some of the better known of those passages and just make a few comments and everything and really talk a little bit about that this evening for a few minutes. The first one is Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. So in John 17, in around verse 11, it says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." And so the kind of unity that's talked about is the unity that the Lord has with Jesus, and that God the Father has with Jesus. And so there's a sense in which we can share in that unity, that identification with the Lord. Now, the only way we can share in that identification with the Lord is if our lives are clean before Him, because obviously we can't, He can't be sharing in a vessel that is openly defiant to Him in that sense. Over a little farther in that passage, in verse 20, it says, "So I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." And then he says, "And the glory which you have you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." And then verse 23, "I and them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one." And so there's a goal that's out there in terms of this spiritual unity that God's looking for us to have, that we're all headed in the same direction, we're all moving forward with the Lord. Now, if you turn over with me into the book of Ephesians, there's also a section there in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and they're really the first 5-6 verses there. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." And of course, that's certainly a part of unity, bearing with one another in love, because there's a lot of times we need someone to bear with us in love, don't we? "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So you've got that statement on unity there. And then I identified a reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 10, Paul says, "Now I plead you with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions amongst you, that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, that it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that you're contentious, there are contentions among you. Now I say this to each of you that says, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And so he says, Then he thanked God that he didn't baptize anyone in that context except the household of Stephanas. And then verse 17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And then one last reference in the book of 2 John. 2 John. And in 2 John, beginning at verse 7, it says, for there are many deceivers that have gone out of the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your house, nor greet them. That's a pretty difficult statement. You're not glad handing them, saying, hey, how are you? I think it's neat you're doing this and that. Someone that doesn't carry the doctrine of Christ. In other words, someone that's not straight on the deity of Christ, I don't think he's suggesting that we somehow pistol whip them with our Bible on the front doorstep. I don't think he's saying that at all. But I think he's saying we do not communicate our support of the things in which they're doing. In other words, we back away from that sort of thing, from that sort of ministry. So if anyone comes to you, doesn't bring this doctrine, don't receive them. In other words, don't welcome them into your house, nor greet them. For he who greets them shares in his evil deeds. And so when you look at that passage, it talks about the whole concept of what we're doing as believers and the choices and decisions we're making and what we're supposed to be unified as in Christ. There's a statement that was attributed to Augustine, a 5th century church father, and they've traced it back and they think he said it. John Wesley gave it to him, but I'm not sure they know where it came from and everything. It's hard to know. But you may have heard the statement, and the statement said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. In essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. Now, I have to say that that for the most part, we have developed a much larger catalog of things that we believe are essentials. We have a very large catalog of things that we believe are essentials. And I was raised in a culture that that we made decisions about fellowship and unity on the basis of your haircut. Of course, the older you get, the fewer of you are that can have that long hair. And it's not near the problem it was at one time. But people made decisions about hair. They made decisions about what you wore, how you wore it, that kind of thing. I can remember hearing messages. One time we were on our way to go to Camp of the Woods, and so we stopped at church on our way. And we were up, I think we were in Rensselaer, Indiana. Was it Rensselaer? I think it was Rensselaer. See, you were amazed that I'm getting the facts semi-straight on this. But we got into Rensselaer, Indiana, and we got in there and sat in, and the preacher got up and started preaching. And God is my witness, he had a message on black nylons, women wearing black nylons. And, and it was colored, I guess it was colored nylons, and he was talking about that was something that was distracting and this and that. And I can't remember if the gal that was with us had black nylons on or not. I don't know. But I just remember getting back into the car after we had stopped for church at that church service and thinking, wow, what a waste of time. And, we frequently get into situations and we frequently get to places where we become and we focus on stuff that is just simply not essential from the standpoint of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look at that document that 12-volume ponderous document of the fundamentals of the faith. And this is done well over 100 years ago. And you look at all of the people that were associated with the fundamentals of the faith, you have a very broad theological discussion. Everybody's not going to get along with the views that they have about the millennium and eschatology and stuff like that. Everybody's not going to be happy with those discussions. There's going to be discussions about church polity. So everybody doesn't necessarily have pastors and deacons and that sort of thing. Some churches have trustees. Some churches have elders. Churches have bishops. You have all different kinds of things like that. And in a sense, we're fully persuaded about what we believe the Scripture teaches. But the question really comes down is, what are the things that are going to divide us, and what are the things that we're going to, so to speak, go to the mat for? Are those the things that we're going to die for, so to speak? And it was helpful years and years ago to begin to think through theology from the standpoint, what do you die for? Well, I'll tell you what you die for: the virgin birth of Christ. You die for the deity of Christ. You die for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You die for the fact that Jesus is coming again. But do we die over, you know, a Presbyterian form of church government versus a congregational form of church government? Now, you understand, we're going to have a congregational church meeting. You don't have to wonder about those kinds of things and everything. Do we die for those things? I'm not sure we're going to die for those things. You know, and in some cultures, they pour for baptism. In some cultures, they baptize three times forward, and sometimes it's three times backward. Sometimes they dunk them down like that. I mean, there's all kind of things like that. Are we going to die for those sorts of things? And I think that the answer is, we have to major on the majors. And not majoring on the minors, but we have to major on the majors, what the Scripture is teaching. So as I look at the Scripture, in essentials, unity. There's areas that we absolutely cannot waver from, that we cannot back away from. We cannot be mealy-mouthed about it in any way, shape, or form. But on the other hand, in non-essentials, we got to cut people some slack. There's got to be liberty that's going to be allowed from that. It doesn't mean when I allow somebody liberty, it doesn't mean that I've got to, in allowing them liberty, that means I can't do it. In that fashion. I was in a meeting, missions meeting, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, where there was a discussion about whether or not there could be home meetings on Wednesday nights. And so, and it was really quite an entertaining discussion, because what people said was, they said, well, this church decided not to have a Wednesday, they had a Wednesday night service at the church, but they also had home meetings during the week, and the question was, well, that's different than what we accept and everything. And so sometimes people are going to die over whether or not, you know, a midweek service is going to be on Wednesday, or it's going to be on Tuesday night, or it's going to be on Thursday night, or if at all, or if we're going to have home groups or something like that. What I'm trying to say is, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. We gotta cut people slack. But in everything, we've got to function on the basis of charity. In other words, if we become gritchy, and that's a great theological word, gritchy. If we become gritchy, and we don't function, and it's not a healthy kind of thing. In the 30 some years that Mary and I've been here, you know, we've had a lot of things that have, you know, can divide us and can move us one direction or another. But let me just say, ultimately, the focus has got to be on the primacy of the essentials of what God says and teaches us in His Word. That's where our focus has to be. Now, that's what they didn't have in Genesis 11. Didn't have that at all. And when they started functioning in a program that was independent of what God had told them, that's when problems began to exist. And that happens for us too. when we go independent of God's word and what the scriptures teach, we're going to have problems and we're going to have difficulties. Well, something to think about, something to pray about and see what the Lord would have you to do in those kinds of areas. We can have differences of opinion, can't we? Thank you. Who said yes? Thank you. Okay. We can have differences of opinion. But the critical way is that as we have difference of opinions, we have it in a context of love and encouragement, charity.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.